experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Dan Friedel for hosting the past three shows. Dan has also been talking with Ben Golliver, the national NBA writer at the Washington Post newspaper. Let's listen in now to the second part of their conversation, which tips off with some big basketball moves in Los Angeles during the NBA offseason. Here's Dan.
Let's jump to where you are in Los Angeles. It seems to be now that LA is, not to use like a too strong of an earthquake-related reference, but it's like the epicenter of the NBA offseason activity with the Clippers revamping their roster and Anthony Davis making his way to the Lakers. What are you excited about for this upcoming NBA season just in your backyard in Los Angeles?
I mean, all of it. It's a dream setup with, you know, two teams here. Both of them have multiple really high profile A-list all-stars. You know, just to tie in that over-under thing that you mentioned, that can also show, you know, how the conferences are set up. Because you mentioned the top two teams that are projected to win the most are Philly and Milwaukee. Now, those teams are going to be, you know, we all assume that the two best teams in the Eastern Conference. But there's a whole bunch of teams in the Western Conference, including the Clippers and the Lakers, who are all projected to be really, really good. And so I think the Western Conference, starting in L.A., it's just going to be this incredible dogfight where most likely whoever wins is going to be whoever can stay the healthiest and who can ever have the best luck, because there's just so much talent and it's spread so evenly around. I think the biggest storyline for the Lakers is, can Anthony Davis, you know, emerge as the MVP, right? He got what he wanted. He forced the trade to the Lakers. He gets to play with LeBron James, setting him up. Is this his time to step forward and become the best player, or the most productive player in basketball? I think that's on the table for him. For the Clippers, it's going to be all about their defense. They can play some incredibly versatile lineups. They're going to be really, really hard to score on. They've got two stars in Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, who are arguably the two best perimeter defensive players in the entire league, and they get to use them together. It's almost the closest thing that we've seen, I think, to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen in terms of the defensive intensity, the length, and the versatility that those guys bring. So it's going to be two totally different styles. I expect more of an explosive team, offense first team with the Lakers, more of a defensive minded team with the Clippers. But I think they're going to wind up being two of probably the six best teams in the entire league, and they share a building. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I was just thinking that'll be pretty cool for you to be able to basically every night of the season, starting in late October, going all the way to the middle of April, you'll see one or two of the, you know, at least one of the best teams in the NBA, and depending on who they're playing, one or two of the best teams of the NBA nearly every night. That'll be pretty exciting for you, and it'll maybe cut down on your commuting costs, or you won't have to make any cross-country flights to check out some of these teams on the other side of the U.S. I wanted to kind of wrap things up by introducing or continuing the conversation with our audience about Zion Williamson, the number one overall pick in the recent NBA draft, the phenomenal freshman season he had at Duke. Some news for him coming out recently about a shoe contract. What do you think the impact is going to be that Zion has on the league this year?
Well, I think that he will be in the mix for Rookie of the Year. There's no question. We saw him play basketball at Summer League in Las Vegas just very briefly. He needs to lose some weight. He needs to get his body right, and he really needs to adjust, I think, the consistency of the work habits, because the NBA season is so long. He is such a physical and demanding player. He puts so much stress on his body. We've seen him blow shoes out before on the court, that I think that he needs to be just in peak shape if he's going to have a big-time impact. Now, New Orleans, they have no real intentions of taking this thing slow. They want to be competing for a playoff spot this year. I think they view him as one piece, but it's not that traditional situation where a number one pick comes in and he's the entire franchise's savior. They've tried to surround him with veterans, whether it's Drew Holiday, the point guard, whether it's Derek Favors. They brought in J.J. Redick. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of experience, which is a little bit unusual. You know, usually when you're that number one pick, you come in and you're surrounded by a bunch of young guys, and there's no real expectations. I think the Pelicans have a slightly different model of what they want to do. But I think Zion's real impact is going to be from the marketability side. I mean, this guy is such a pleasure to watch. He's an incredible dunker, a great energetic defensive player. He works hard for, you know, his teams. And I do think he kind of fits with what, you know, Jordan Brand has always tried to be about, which is, you know, the impossibility of flight. You know, how much fun is it to get off the ground and soar for dunks? I mean, that's sort of what Michael Jordan was best known for, and that's what they've really, you know, pinned a lot of their marketing plans around. So I think it's a very natural fit for him there. And I think that, frankly, that's a brand, and the Pelicans, too, as an organization, they need a new face, right? I mean, Jordan Brand, they used to have guys like Carmelo Anthony and Chris Paul as their main, you know, franchise kind of pitchmen, if you will. Both those guys are towards the end of their career. And then with the Pelicans, obviously, they had to trade away Anthony Davis. So I think if you're Zion Williamson, you're walking into just major opportunities both on and off the court as a rookie that very few guys get. And, of course, you know, the $75 million from Jordan Brand doesn't hurt too much either.
Ben, thank you so much for your time. It's always great talking with you on the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Take care.
That's Ben Golliver, the national NBA writer at the Washington Post newspaper. And Ben was talking with Dan Friedell. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In more National Basketball Association news, Vince Carter is reportedly returning to the Atlanta Hawks for a record 22nd season in the NBA. The 42-year-old Carter is an 8-time NBA All-Star who plays both shooting guard and small forward. A person familiar with the situation confirmed to the Associated Press that Carter is ready to lace up his shoes once again. While he doesn't jump quite as high as he used to, Vince Carter is regarded as one of the greatest dunkers of all time. His leaping ability and slam dunks earned him such nicknames during his career as Vinsanity, Air Canada, and Half Man, Half Amazing. With the Hawks, Vince Carter will continue to mentor some of the NBA's most promising young talent, including first-round draft picks DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish. And if he gets out on the court again, Vince Carter will eclipse the record he shares with Robert Parrish, Kevin Garnett, Kevin Willis, and Dirk Nowitzki for most seasons in the NBA. Those four big men I just mentioned, Parrish, Garnett, Willis, and Nowitzki, are all retired. Vince Carter played 76 games for the Hawks last season, averaging 17.5 minutes and about 7.5 points a game. Let's take a short break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Listen to VOA's program lineup live, anytime, day or night. Pick out your favorite shows and listen anytime you want. Download our podcasts. Check VOA Mobile from your cell phone. Subscribe to VOA Newsfeed. VOAnews.com.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest bitter part of the bottom of your heart. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now with a package of African athletics and African basketball news is Samson Omale. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sunny. We begin in Rwanda, where Mali has been crowned champions of the FIBA Under-16 Women's African Championship. The Malians dispatched Egypt 84-48 to win their sixth title at Amahoro Indoor Arena in Rwanda capital, Kigali. Mariam Koulibaly scored a game high of 30 points, picked 7 rebounds and 5 assists to inspire the West Africans to an unprecedented record 6th African title. Earlier in the day, Angola defeated Mozambique 67-59 in the third place game. Staying with basketball news, the 2019 FIBA Women's Afro Basket Championship will dunk off in Dakar, Senegal from August the 9th. The 26th edition will feature 12 teams from across the continent. Nigeria's the Tigress is the defending champion and will be hoping to put up an impressive showing in Senegal. Aisha Balaribi and Adora Elonu are members of the Nigerian Women National Basketball Team to Senegal.
We're going to go there and do what we do best. And what we do best is to win, to be the champion. And as you can see, my girls, we're all ready. And we have new players, about 2-3 players. So I believe, you know, we're working hard right now. And when we go there, by the grace of God, we're going to take the champion.
I think we expect more or less of the same, how we were in the World Cup. We're keeping the same identity. But yes, with the different, with the pressure, I think it'll be more exciting. We kind of, not really surprised everyone in the last championships in Mali, but I think in Senegal, they'll be coming for us. But, you know, it'll be vice versa.
In athletics news, lawyer for South African athlete Caster Semenya says the Olympic 800 meters champion will fight for her own rights and that of other female athletes. Dorothy Iskariam's comments comes as Semenya was denied a chance to defend her world title in Doha in September. The 28-year-old Caster Semenya is battling a ruling by the International Association of Athletics Federation over rules that will require her to take drugs to counter her naturally high testosterone levels.
I would like to mention 4 key human rights that are at stake here. The first is a prohibition against discrimination. The second is the right to physical integrity. That means that nobody can touch your body against your will. Then there is the right to economic freedom. And last but not least, the respect for human dignity.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In African football news, Nigeria is scheduled to host next year's FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup. It will mark the first time the FIFA Women's Under-20 competition has been held in Africa. Ahead of the tournament, a 5-man inspection team from FIFA is checking out venues in 4 Nigerian cities. Iron Mike Mbonye reports from Lagos, Nigeria.
The FIFA team commenced inspection of facilities in Lagos, one of the centers chosen to host the Under-20 Women's World Cup. The team inspected the Onikan Stadium, match venue, St. Nicholas Hospital, and Lagos State University Teaching Hospital. They visited the Teslim Balogun Stadium, National Stadium, National Stadium Legacy Pitch. The president of Nigeria Football Federation, Mr. Amaju Penick, led other executive members of the federation and officials of the Lagos State government to take the team round facilities in the state. Though the FIFA officials have not said anything, some officials of Lagos State have been speaking about the potentials of the state. Dr. Kweku Tando is the chairman of Lagos State Sports Commission.
Lagos State can host the 4 centers if necessary, not to talk of just 1 or 2. We have the stadia, we have the training pitches, we have the medical facilities, transport, security, accommodation, and then of course the crowd, the Lagos crowd for football. Definitely we can host the Under-20 in Lagos alone, not even taking it anywhere else outside Lagos.
Tando says Lagos will ensure that all facilities needed to host the championship are in good shape. Mr. Ebi Egbe, a FIFA match agent, says Nigeria has the facilities to host the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup.
I think it's great, man. It's great. Image building, you know. I mean, we have all the facility to host it, you know, so why not? You know, I think it's great. It's a great team for Nigerian football. No, there'll be a lot of crowd, man, you know. Nigeria is a football nation. You know, there's no way we're playing the Under-20 World Cup and stadiums are not going to get filled up. It's not possible.
George Alua, the sports editor of the Nigerian Express newspaper, says Nigeria is qualified to host the main FIFA World Cup and should not have any problem hosting the FIFA Under-20 Women's World Cup.
well, extremely qualified to host this tournament. We'll have all the facilities in place to be able to host at least a FIFA Under 20 Women's World Cup. In fact, even as a country, we should be looking beyond hosting the age group tournaments. We have hosted several age group tournaments in the past, FIFA Under 17, FIFA Under 20. So our target now should be to host the main team.
The FIFA team will inspect facilities in Benin, Asaba, and Uyo centers. They will later visit Nigeria's Vice President, Professor Yemi Osinbajo, in Abuja. This is Mike Mbonye for the Sunny Side of Sports in Lagos.
Thanks, Iron Mike. Polo players from three African countries recently competed in an international competition in London. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Over the weekend, polo players from South Africa, Kenya, and Nigeria took part in the second annual Lux Afrique Polo Day event. The extravaganza, founded by British Nigerian entrepreneur Alexander Omosu, is the only African polo event of its kind in Europe. And Omosu says the event not only aims to showcase the sport, but African culture as well.
We like to think this is our, you know, African ascot, where you can come every year, wear your best outfits with beautiful colors, represent the different countries you're from with your traditional outfits, eat African food, and watch African polo.
Competitions were held at the prestigious Ham Polo Club in Richmond, London, where the finest players on Team Africa went head-to-head against the rest of the world. And while Team Africa suffered a narrow 4-3 defeat, British-Nigerian player Malawa Adesui says the event will shine a brighter spotlight on Africa's impact on the sport.
I think it's important, again, just to showcase what Africans can do, to showcase what sort of Nigerians can do, and to encourage more African people to get into polo. It's a fun game. The horse is amazing. It's an absolutely amazing experience. I think more sort of black Nigerian African people should get into polo.
Polo has been dubbed the sport of kings and is growing in popularity across Africa. Attendee Mabasa believes the event will encourage more Africans to take up polo and end the stigma on the sport.
I think Africa has a lot to offer, and some people are unaware that polo is played in Africa. Despite the negative things about, you know, colonialism, it's a sport that was left there. Cricket, etc., and polo is one of those sports, so I think it's good for people to be aware.
And Mobo Awards founder Kanya King says the event gives people a chance to celebrate the regal spirit of Africa.
You don't often get an event like this that kind of is celebrating the kind of richness, the rich cultural contribution that African culture has to the world. So it's not just about kind of playing polo, it's about the kind of African connectivity.
And glamour that was on full display at the event. The dress code was African boldness, polo chic. And those in attendance hoped to snag the Best Dressed Award, ultimately won by Senegalese spectator Deborah Ababio.
I've been to the Cartier Polo, and I love that we've got a separate one for us and celebrating us, celebrating all the melanin that's in this space. I love it. And it's a great thing. The sun is shining. It's a good thing.
Laura Layton was also among those who celebrated Africa's rich culture.
I feel like for so many years we weren't embraced and we weren't appreciated from an African design perspective in terms of fashion, in terms of culture. And here we are in London wearing African print, dancing to African music. It's just so, it's a celebration.
Lux Afrique organizers say they used the occasion to spotlight Malaika, a charity initiative that serves to bring education, water, and health to the poorest communities in the Congo. All proceeds from the event will go directly to that charitable cause. And that's all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The English Premier League football season officially kicks off this Friday, August 9th, when Liverpool takes on visiting Norwich City. Joining us now with a preview of the first week of EPL matches is Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Sporty greetings, Ryan.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. We're in for a highly competitive Premier League season where several top teams have a shot at winning the title, and other squads are looking to crack the top four and earn their way into a Champions League berth. That means it's as important as ever for clubs to start off on the right foot in match week one. The Premier League begins with a primetime matchup on Friday between Liverpool and Norwich City. Liverpool are the returning winners of the Champions League and runners-up in the EPL. Although Liverpool had a quiet transfer window, they bring a stacked squad to this fixture, with world-class goalkeeper Alisson of Brazil and star defenders Virgil van Dijk and Trent Alexander-Arnold, they'll be extremely tough to score on. And with a dangerous offensive attack led by the African duo of Egyptian midfielder Mohamed Salah and Senegalese striker Sadio Mane, Norwich City will be on their heels the whole game. Norwich City did have a great year last year, winning the English Championship, the second division of English football, and earning their promotion to the top flight. But this game will be a true test of whether they are ready to compete with the powerhouses of the Premier League. Three other intriguing fixtures to catch the eyes of football fans in match week one. On Saturday, Tottenham opens their season against newly promoted side Aston Villa. While Tottenham returns most of the squad that took them to last year's Champions League finals, including the now healthy Harry Kane, they can't underestimate Aston Villa. The so-called villains had arguably the best transfer window in the entire Premier League, immensely upgrading a team that barely escaped the second division. Most notably, they acquired Brazilian striker Wesley from the Belgian side Club Brugge. And Tottenham will be missing Heung-min Son for this game, as he is suspended. Although Tottenham remains the favorite in this one, they should be on upset alert. An underrated fixture from match week one would be Sunday's tilt between the Wolverhampton Wanderers and Leicester City. These two clubs are arguably the best outside contenders to crack the vaunted top six of the league. It will also be interesting to see how Leicester performs without Harry Maguire, who just transferred to Manchester United, and how the Wolves perform with new acquisitions like Pedro Neto and Patrick Cutrone. Finally, match week one saves its best fixture for last. Manchester United versus Chelsea. Chelsea had a stellar season last year, finishing third in the Premier League and winning the Europa League title. On the other hand, Manchester United struggled, finishing a disappointing sixth in the EPL. However, these clubs have gone in opposite directions this offseason. Chelsea lost their star, Eden Hazard, while the Red Devils picked up both Harry Maguire and Aaron Wan-Bissaka. Can Chelsea keep up their momentum from last season, or will they be overpowered by Man United's new stars? There are six other great fixtures this weekend that you may want to tune into as well. We're all itching to see how the stage is set for another great Premier League season. And don't forget that the EPL transfer window doesn't end until Thursday, so keep an eye on any last-minute moves, too. That's all I have for this Match Week 1 preview. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks for that preview, Ryan. Well, Ryan, stick around because I heard there was some interesting transfer news regarding English football legend Wayne Rooney. Can you tell our VOA football fans about that?
Wayne Rooney, who currently plays for our Major League Soccer team right here in Washington, DC United, signed a deal with English second division side Derby County to become a player coach for the club. So Rooney will head over to Derby County in January and will not only help the team on the pitch, but also serve as a coaching leader off of it. The move shows us that as Rooney's football career winds down, he fully intends to transition to coaching when his playing days are done. And Rooney's also always been known to be a fired-up kind of player, so it'll be interesting to see how that attitude transitions to the sidelines.
Ryan, earlier you mentioned Harry Maguire signing with Manchester United. What can you tell us about that deal?
Harry Maguire was just acquired from Leicester City by Manchester United for $100 million. That makes him the most expensive defender in the world. And what it really shows us is that after last season's disappointing sixth-place finish in the Premier League by Manchester United, that they didn't meet their lofty expectations and they need an immediate turnaround. And so they're willing to shell out a ton of money to make a change as soon as possible, get a star like Harry Maguire who can immediately turn around their team, and they hope to shoot right back up to the top of the Premier League table. That's why they made this big move.
Thank you, Ryan. That's Brown Daily Herald sports writer and VOA intern Ryan Handel. Ryan will be back with us later this week. And that wraps up the August 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 22:30 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
This is Science in a Minute.
Researchers led by the Australian National University has discovered an anemic star with very low iron content. The researchers say the low iron levels suggests that it is an ancient star, formed just a few hundred million years after the Big Bang, and was created after one of the very first stars in the universe exploded. Scientists suspect that the first stars in the universe were only made of hydrogen, helium, and a small trace of lithium, since the three were the only elements that existed for years after the Big Bang. Elements heavier than those first three are created by the powerful explosion or supernova of a star. Progressively heavier elements are created with the explosions of earlier star generations. The researchers say that this low-metal red giant star is located in the halo region of the Milky Way, about 35,000 light-years from Earth. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs, such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
Hello, thank you for listening to Border Crossings with Larry London. This month, Border Crossings is giving away a really cool Voice of America t-shirt. Hooray! If you want to win one of these awesome shirts, all you have to do is make a song request for our show. I see it, I like it, I want it, I got it, yeah. Tune into Border Crossings at 1500 Universal Time every weekday in August for your chance to win.